Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray. And today we pray about prayer itself. And we go with you and those chosen three, Peter, James, and John, to the Garden of Gethsemane as you begin your passion. St. Matthew tells us, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Lord, you have taken those chosen three out of the 12. You've taken us. Not that we are better than others, but we are trying to grow in our spiritual life. We are practicing our faith. We are clearly amongst those chosen ones today. And you have taken us to pray with you, and you began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Sorrowful even to death. And why was that? Yes, because you were considering the passion to come with all of its pains, but considering also the fact that in spite of your love for us that led you to give your life, so many down the ages would not be saved. They would misuse their freedom and reject you and your merciful love at the end. And you were dying that all might be saved, knowing that many would reject you. And that was a cause of enormous suffering, we can imagine. And then you were thinking of the fact that Judas had already betrayed you, that Peter would deny you, that all the apostles would run away in the garden when the soldiers came. You were thinking of the suffering of Our Lady at the cross on the following day. Her heart and yours were one. The sword would truly pierce her heart when it pierced yours. All of that suffering that made you sorrowful even unto death, and you wanted the company of your apostles. You want our company too. And sometimes when we pray, especially perhaps in a church before the tabernacle, we will be the only one there, that we keep you company. You and your humanity in the garden and in the tabernacle too want us to come to you, to keep you company, even as we need you much more than you need us. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, my Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Lord, you teach us how to pray, my Father, that we pray to the Father ever merciful and gracious. And we always pray through you. And then you beg the Father for something, that this chalice of suffering can pass you by. That chalice to which you referred when you asked James and John, who are with you now, can you drink of the chalice that I am about to drink? They wouldn't have understood you were referring to a chalice, a cup of suffering. And they answered, we can. And now you are begging the Father that you be spared that chalice. And you add, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And Lord, you are teaching us that whenever we ask God for something, we always add, at least in our mind, if not in our words, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, because you always give us what is best. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Lord, when you come to me, do you find me asleep? Perhaps I would be literally asleep, trying to pray, to say this rosary, to do my mental prayer, and I've literally fallen asleep. And in one sense, that is not so bad. At least we were trying to pray. But to be figuratively asleep is worse. You come to me, I'm not vibrant, I'm not alive, I'm not living in your presence, doing your will. I'm lethargic, I'm lukewarm. You don't want to see me like that. And you say to the apostles, and you say to me, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Can't you give me 1 hour of your time? And when we think of the 1 hour, we can think that so many people are giving you 1 hour every day, not every week by going to Sunday Mass, but every day. If we are amongst those who attend Mass every day, that is a half hour. If we are doing, in addition, let's say 15 minutes of mental prayer, as we are doing now for 30 minutes, if we are saying the rosary or doing some spiritual reading, reading some scripture, we easily are giving you 1 hour spread throughout the day, and that is not difficult. And Lord, you need us to be closer to you so that we can bring you and your light and your love into the lives of so many who are looking for you and don't know where to look. You want us to be truly prayerful souls, to give you that 1 hour a day if we can, or at least some time. And now you explain why. Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, that describes us. We fall in temptation too often. The spirit is willing. We want to do the right thing. We don't want to offend you by sin, but the flesh is weak. The effects of original sin are there, our selfishness, our pride, our laziness, our love of comfort. And then we fall. If we prayed more, we would have more love for you and more grace, and we wouldn't fall so readily, at least, in those temptations. You are inviting us to be prayerful souls, and we want to be. And why do we want to pray? To fulfill a requirement? To tick a box? Yes, I did my prayer. I said the rosary. I went to Mass? No. Because we want to love you. You love us first. You gave your life for us. You have called us by our name. We want to be close to you. We want to be truly your disciples. And therefore we need to pray, because prayer is simply conversation with you. And just as we grow in human friendship by spending time with that other person, conversing, engaging the person, so we do with you. If we want to grow in love for you, we need to spend time with you in prayer, in its various forms. And St. Teresa of Avila tells us, mental prayer is nothing else than an intimate friendship, a frequent heart-to-heart conversation with him by whom we know ourselves to be loved. And that is what our prayer is, that heart-to-heart conversation with you who love us first. Intimate friendship. And St. John Chrysostom tells us about prayer too. He says, there is nothing more worthwhile than to pray to God and to converse with him. For prayer unites us with God as his companions. As our bodily eyes are illuminated by seeing the light, so in contemplating God, our soul is illuminated by him. Of course, the prayer I have in mind is no matter of routine. It is deliberate and earnest. Our soul should be directed to God not merely when we suddenly think of prayer, but even when we are concerned with something else. If we are looking after the poor, if we are busy in some other way, or if we are doing any type of good work, we should season our actions with the desire and the remembrance of God. Through this salt of the love of God, we can all become a sweet dish for the Lord. If we are generous in giving time to prayer, we will experience its benefits throughout our life. And Lord, we will converse with you. We will grow more in love for you. We will get to know you. We will be those prayerful souls. And what form should our prayer take? There are four main types of prayer, and we should do all of them. First, mental prayer, meditation, talking with you in our own words. What we are doing now. This very personal prayer, where we speak with you and we listen to you. And what will we pray about? We can pray about this topic that we are praying about now, the topic of prayer, and how our prayer is, and how we can improve it, and what types of prayer we should be doing. We started with a text from Scripture, always a good starting point for a meditation. We can start with that spiritual reading book that we are using. We can start with the book of life, our life, all of those concerns that we have. And Saint Jose Maria answers the question that someone wrote to him, and we read this in the way in point 91. You write, to pray is to talk with God, but about what? About what? About Him. About yourself. Joys, sorrows, successes and failures, noble ambitions, daily worries, weaknesses, and acts of thanksgiving, and petitions, and love, and reparation. In a word, to get to know Him and to get to know yourself. To get acquainted. The book of life. Our joys, sorrows, successes and failures, daily worries, weaknesses, and yes, all those acts of thanksgiving for so much, so many blessings and petitions for so many intentions and love, of course, and reparation, sorrow for our sins. To get acquainted with you. And he also writes in that same chapter on prayer in the way, you seek the company of friends who with their conversation and affection, with their friendship, make the exile of this world more bearable for you. There's nothing wrong with that, although friends sometimes let you down. But how is it you don't frequent daily with greater intensity the conversation of the great friend who never lets you down? Lord, you are the great friend. You are always there for us. How is it we don't seek your company daily and living it in that form of prayer that is meditation, to have that loving conversation with you? And then a second kind of prayer, vocal prayer, which we normally understood as saying prayers that we have learned. And we say that prayer that you gave us, the Our Father. And you teach us how to pray in the Our Father, and to start by going to our Father. The Hail Mary, so based on Scripture in its first part. The Glory Be, the act of contrition. The Hail Holy Queen. The Memorare, that beautiful Marian prayer. The Angelus, the Regina Caeli, which we say instead of the Angelus during the Easter season, and above all, the Rosary. Because, Lord, in the Rosary, we are meditating on your life. Yes, it is vocal prayer, We are saying prayers that we have learned, but we are also meditating. And in those brief meditations on each mystery, we consider your life and the many lessons they have to give us. And the Mass is a form of vocal prayer. And how important that most powerful prayer of the Mass is. And then a third type of prayer, contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer differs from meditation in that here the mind is more quiet. Prayer here is not discursive, going from one idea to another, but it can be described as a gaze of love. Perhaps we do contemplative prayer when we are more tired, more distracted, and we sit perhaps in the church or in our home, and we simply look at a crucifix and contemplate your love for us. We look at the tabernacle, that you are there in the form of bread to be present for us, and we give you thanks for that. We look at an image of Our Lady, that beautiful mother that you gave us. And then we are praying like that peasant in Ars when the curé asked him how he prayed. And he answered, "I just look at the good God, and the good God looks at me." This is contemplative prayer. And the fourth type is aspirations. With those little darts of love where we simply say throughout the day, "Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you. Help me with this job that I'm about to begin. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been working here for 2 hours and haven't thought of you once." And whatever other aspirations that come from the scriptures. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Lord, that I may see. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Aspirations that we say many each day, and we are living those different types of prayer. And what qualities should our prayer have? First, regularity. That we fix the times at which we are going to pray. That we not leave it up to, "Well, if I get a chance, I'd like to say the rosary. I would like to do some mental prayer or spiritual reading." Much better to fix the time at which we're going to do it, and then to fix the time for which we are going to do it, and this is especially applicable to mental prayer. I want to pray for 15 minutes, for 20 minutes, for a half hour, whatever we decide, but to hold ourselves to that time. And St. Jose Maria gives us some very wise advice in the chapter on prayer in the way. "When you go to pray, let this be a firm resolution. Don't prolong your prayer because you find consolation in it, or shorten it because you find it dry." And we might be inclined to ask, "But why shouldn't I prolong it if I find consolation in it?" Precisely because the devil may be promoting that idea. Because then on the following day, when you don't particularly feel like praying, he will insinuate, "You don't need to pray today. You prayed longer yesterday." And then what happens? Our prayer is not the object of our will, of our love for you, but the object of our whims and our feelings. And we cannot subject our relationship with you to feelings any more than when we love someone on earth, we subject our conversations to them to our feelings. "I don't feel like talking with her or him today." And him or her might be our spouse. We talk with them whether we feel like it or not, because we know they want to speak with us. That firm resolution, not to prolong it, not to shorten it because we don't feel like it. Will there be days in which we don't feel like it? Of course. Many days. The saints didn't always feel like praying either. And we go to St. Jose Maria himself. And he was a great saint. I lived with him in Rome for 2 years, and one could see the love of God with which he spoke. And he didn't always feel like praying. He writes in his intimate notes in 1932, speaking of himself, I can't understand it. I know someone who, in spite of his faith, which is unlimited, is cold when close to the divine fire of the tabernacle, and yet later, outside in the street, amid the noise of cars and trams and people, and even while reading a newspaper, he feels carried away by a vibrant and rapturous love of God. That great saint, cold before the tabernacle, and then very prayerful out in the street. And his successor, as the head of Opus Dei, Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, comments, "As you meditate on these words, notice also that our Father had a vibrant and rapturous love of God because he remained faithful to his meditation even when he felt as cold as ice during that time." Lord, we might be cold as ice. We might not feel like praying, but we want to engage you in conversation nonetheless. We want to grow in love. And I dare say that that prayer that we do without any feelings is more meritorious because we are going against the grain. This prayer for us is in some way a sacrifice, and you value that. And I dare say, too, that when we are inclined to think, what's the use of praying? I'm not getting anything out of it. You answer, my son, my daughter, I don't value your prayer for what you get out of it. I value it for what you put into it. And I can see the effort you are making. And that very effort is paying dividends in your growth in love, in your growth in sanctity, so that our prayer should be regular. Secondly, we should pray with real faith, the faith that you are listening. And we began our mental prayers, we always do. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here. We are making an act of faith that you are here, no matter where we are, that you see us, that you hear us. And even though we feel you might be distant, you do see us, you do hear us. And we pray with that faith that you are always listening, that you will always answer us, and you tell us you will. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, we read, "Your words, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And we might be inclined to say, Lord, that's not true. I have been praying for so long for these intentions, and nothing is happening. You are not listening to me. You're not answering my prayer. And we know that you, as God, are always listening and always answering. And it may be that your answer is, not yet. I see your prayer, your insistent prayer, and that is so sanctifying. I want you to continue praying for a while, and then I will give you what you are asking. Like Saint Monica praying for all those years for her son Augustine, for his conversion, and her prayers were answered. Or you might be saying, not what you are asking. I will give you something that is better. It won't be what you are asking, and you might not think it is better. But when you finish your life, you will look back and realize, yes, that was better. Lord, you are our loving Father, our God, our friend. You always give us what is best, even though we don't appreciate it at the time. And always we are receiving your grace through our prayer. We are being sanctified by that prayer, and that is itself an answer, and that is the most important answer. And then we pray with humility, with that sense that we are unworthy, that we need you, and we come before you like that publican in the temple who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee was praying with pride. Thank God I'm not like the rest of men or like this publican here. And we pray like the publican, Lord, I am nobody. Why should you listen to me? But I know you do. And then you added at the end, I tell you, this man went home higher in God's favor than the other. That we pray with humility, and we pray perseveringly. We keep up our prayer. And this habit of mental prayer, that we not just live it for a week or a month or a year, but all our life. To engage you every day in that mental prayer, in that loving conversation. And also the persistence, the perseverance in continuing to ask you for our petitions. We have so many intentions that we are asking you for, and we keep on asking. And you teach us to do that too. In the Gospel of St. Luke, you give us two examples. The widow going to the unjust judge and persevering, begging him until finally he gives in. And he says, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And Lord, you want us to pray like that, to wear out God, if you like. And you add at the end, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will you find faith in people praying perseveringly? Will you find faith in me? And you give us that other example of the neighbor going in the dead of night to ask for 3 loaves of bread. And because he pounds on the door, the neighbor will get up and give him what he asks. You want us to pray like that, that we pray with perseverance. And we finish our prayer going to Our Lady. And she is truly teacher of prayer. She lived in your presence. She prayed like every good Jewish woman. She talked with you when you were in the home in Nazareth. You are God. When she talked with you, she was talking with God. She was praying. And when you left home to begin your public ministry, she was undoubtedly thinking of you all the time. What will Jesus be doing? I must pray for him, for the fruitfulness of his ministry. And then when he ascended into heaven, Mary remained, looked after by St. John, and again praying to God in heaven for the fruitfulness of the church which was then beginning. Mary, teach us to pray. Help us to be truly prayerful souls. Through prayer in its various forms, we grow in love for God. We grow in sanctity. We will be that other Christ that will bring Christ into this world, his love, his light, his hope. Help us truly to be prayerful souls. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.